Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
I began to tell you how that it means how that for you to know God, you must understand the back end of everything he did while he was dead, buried, and what? Resurrected. And at the tail of 3:10, he says, be made conformable unto his death. Now go back to the Romans 6:6. We're trying to show you some of the things there. The power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. You know, years ago when I read this, I felt like I had to suffer with Jesus. That's what I was thinking, that I had to suffer. But no, I have to understand that in his suffering, I was inside. He was doing it for me. It was as if I was the one that was suffering. You know, when Jesus was talking to some folks when he resurrected, while they were talking about Jesus, how that the soldiers claimed that his body was stolen, right? And what did he tell them? He said to them, how slow in heart and daft are you to not believe what the prophet have said? Isn't it? He didn't say, ought not the Son of Man have to suffer before entering into his glory? So when you see the fellowship of his suffering here, it doesn't mean Jesus could not eat and etc. They are talking about the suffering in his death, burial, and what? Resurrection. And he added at the tail, he said, being made conformable unto his death. That's how you can know God. So if you don't understand the finished work of Jesus, you cannot know God. He is revealed in his death, burial, and what? Resurrection. That's how he's revealed. And that's why Paul also would say in another part of scripture, he said that I do not want you, it was talking to a church, to know, I don't want to know nothing amongst you but Christ and him being what? Crucified. Because that's the only way you can know God. Are you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? Just that, you know, just like when you tell people you can live above sin, you get a lot of reactions, isn't it? Many will tell you it's not possible because of the flesh. Right? Are you all here? They will say it is not possible because of the flesh. Have you heard people tell you that? We are only humans, body not be firewood. Many things like that. We are flesh and blood, you know, stuff like that. And they are trying to make you understand that because of these facts we've been saying, then we cannot live above sin. In fact, they generalize it, nobody can live above sin. And truly, if you think nobody can live above sin, then will live above sin. If you think nobody can live above sin, then you actually cannot live above sin. Because you actually don't believe you can live above sin. And so you are speaking it. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Why? Because your experiences of falling to sin has weighed you down. It's upon you, it's in your spirit, like a weight. You cannot speak beyond what you have experienced. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? That's why you are so sure. You see some of them very sure. Nobody. And you ask them, why are you sure? And they may just say, well, it's just like that. That's how life is. You think that's how life should be? People of God? Think about it. You think God created man with the hope that when he comes again, then man will stop sin? Huh? Because some Christians believe like that will never stop sin till Jesus comes. So you think God created man so that man will keep on managing sin till Jesus comes? No, it's not true. It's not true. The Bible says we do not have a Savior that is ignorant of the feelings of our infirmity in the book of Hebrews. He was not ignorant of it. Yet the Bible says he lived above sin. Not even in the glorified nature yet. Took upon himself the very nature of sin. Felt all the trials of sin and yet lived above sin. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? in that fallen nature that Adam had by disobedience. And now we have a glorified body because of his resurrection. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? We have a glorified body. For instance, the Bible said, somewhere in scriptures, the Bible said Jesus was raised by the glory of the Father. How many of you saw that part of scripture? And substitute will say Jesus was raised to life by the Holy Spirit. Right? How many of you have seen where the Bible said Jesus was raised by the glory of the Father? Verse 4 here, yes. Let's see it in verse 4. Now, they substituted the Holy Spirit for the glory of the Father. Alright? It said, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the... Even so, we also should walk in the newness of life. So it is expected of us to walk in the newness of life, because Jesus resurrecting was our resurrection too. Right? I think that's TPT's rendition of Colossians 3:1, if I'm not mistaken. Christ's resurrection is our resurrection too. TPT rendition. Now, looking at this, that we're raised by the glory of the Father, Romans 8 and 12 will say, it says, now if the same Spirit, remember, they say glory of the Father, here we call him the Holy Spirit now. If the same Spirit or the same glory that has raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, what has that glory done? It has what? So what do you do now that you have seen this? Believe it. So what do you say? We did imagination last 2 weeks. You imagine your mortal body what? Quickened. That's why what Paul said, that the eyes of your heart, your optical eyes, logic will not believe this. He said the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. We see from the eyes of faith that our bodies have been what? Quickened. And of course, the faith realm is more real than this tangible realm that we are touching. If the Bible said the things which are not seen are more real. You see that? So you see, something has happened to our body. Something has happened to our body. We have been quickened. So it's not that kind of body that is subjected to sin. Now, God never actually created anybody to be subjected to sin. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? But the disobedience of Adam made that possible. Are we together? And that's why it's wrong for the church to be calling Mr. Flesh their enemy. It's funny. Because God cannot create something that should be your enemy. You see, the perspective we have about the flesh is why we are still subjected by the flesh till date. It's a truth. Well, let me even call it the body instead of calling it the flesh. I think the flesh is when it begins to work against you. Right? But the body is just body, you know? To be carnally minded is death. See that? Because you are never created to be carnally minded. See, but to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. So you don't have a business trying to stop sin. Just be spiritually minded. Then sin will stop by default. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Be spiritually minded. Verse 2 says, the law of the spirit of life that is in Christ. They are laws in Christ. Now, if you are spiritually minded by seeing yourself like Christ, how do you become spiritually minded? One more time. How do you become spiritually minded? So if your data or information about Christ is false or some assumption, then it cannot even help you to be spiritually minded. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You take some assumed knowledge of Christ and you think it's a knowledge of Christ and you are trying to be spiritually minded but see yourself in the natural, still suffering because your database is wrong. But the Bible said if you truly have the undiluted word of God, the true revelation of Jesus, like Paul prayed for us in Ephesians 1:18 through 20, is that we may know epignosis, accurate, precise knowledge. Say, I can know God fully without mistake. That was Paul's prayer for the church. Accurate, precise knowledge. So now I have the knowledge of Christ. and I'm conscious of the knowledge of Christ, that makes me spiritually minded. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? And to be spiritually minded, that's where life begins and true peace follows. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. So stop trying to stop sin. Be spiritually minded and you shut the door of sin by default. Like Blessed Ken Hagin taught in one of his books, he said, resisting the devil is not you fighting the devil. He said, resisting the devil is submitting to God. Thank God James wrote it like that. He said, submit to God. Then he said, resist the devil and he will what? Flee from you. Submit to God. By default, you are what? Resisting the devil. And he will what? Flee from you. Are you listening to me? Even the good fight of faith, because if there's a good fight of faith, there should be a bad fight of faith. The good fight of faith is not to stop Satan. It is to lay hold of what Jesus has done for you. Eternal life. To enjoy it fully. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Not to fight Satan. So when we say let's get into warfare, we are not. It has nothing to do with Satan. It is making sure that what Jesus has done for us is mounted upon our consciousness. That's all we think, see, and say. Then by default, the resultant effect is that Satan is on the run. Because all he begins to see is light everywhere. Fire everywhere. Glory everywhere. And that's why the Bible says in righteousness you are. You see, you did not fight Satan. You just became righteous, conscious, and you are established. You are established in righteousness. And because you are established, you are far away from what? Oppression. You see that? This you know, how do you walk in this thing? Believe it. Imagine and believe it. That's all. Imagine and what? Believe it. That's all. That's the toughest thing to do as Christians. Because in our believing, it involves meditation, prayer, and all forms of prayer. In our believing, it involves this. That's why Jesus told the 12, this kind goeth out not. And some people misunderstood that scripture. Because if you look at that scripture, the emphasis was not the demon in that young man. The emphasis was what? Unbelief. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So Jesus was speaking about faith. Alright? So he's saying this kind of faith is not released except by what? In other words, by staying with the word and imagining it so much, you know, meditating upon the word so much, that's how you begin to release this kind of faith. Because faith cometh out. You understand what I'm trying to say? Faith comes by hearing. As you are hearing God's word, you are able to release faith. But if you never heard God's word, you cannot what? Release. And how do you hear God's word? Not just all when I'm done here, you think I'm done. You go and still hear it in your house. You carry your jotter, look at it. You are hearing again. And you speak to yourself. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Yeah, you are speaking, you are confessing the word. Speaking the word. And as you are doing that, faith is rising to find expression. So it had nothing to do with the demon. Remember, he said again, if your faith is as little as a mustard seed, if you can say, it's about releasing the faith. That's all that matters. If you can say, amidst stupid thoughts, wrong opposing thoughts in your heart, if you can meditate, you will release only faith. Satan will not take it lightly. You will sit to pray, he will start painting pictures. I remember the Lord speaking to me, he said, one of the ways Satan destroys my people is by giving them wrong dreams. How many of you ever dreamt wrongly and you woke up and started crying because you dreamt that somebody died? And alas, the person now died. So you see, Satan prepared your heart to receive the damage. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? He prepared your heart to receive, because if you don't permit him, he can't come. So he paints a picture in your heart. You start crying because you've accepted that picture. That's why I'm not scared of dreams. I've dreamt a lot of dreams. In fact, there are sometimes I wake up and I say stupid dream. I don't adore dreams. I don't worship dreams. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? Dream that you died. It's a stupid dream. First, insult the dream. And sometimes Satan can use a false prophet to give you such a wrong picture. Hey, I dreamt that you died. You are dying 2 days. Rebuke that word first. Because Satan is using that person. You know, Satan can use a false prophet to destroy. You don't know? Someone who doesn't know the word, then he flows through him and tells you, you are dying in 1 week. Say, but if you come and sow a seed of $2,000, or if you carry water and come, we'll pour it in your eye and wash that thing off. Just say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Someone called me and said I was going to die. And that something exploded. I don't know what he said. I'm trying to remember. Okay. We're in a meeting, in a place with several big pastors, one or two big pastors. And he was there too. And suddenly, police came or whatever came, and people were running away. And when they did not see me. Then he said, but me, I was there with the other big man of God. But when we turned, we didn't see you. And the next thing we heard is that Prophet Simon is gone. I said, okay, I've heard you. I don't dream anyhow. I just dream. When I dream, it's special. My dream always happens. I said, okay. He said, so what do you have to say? I said, nothing. Bye. Before he said anything again, I've ended the call. And I told my wife, they said I died. I was with pastors, then me, I died. So we started laughing. I said, maybe the guy did not understand the dream. Because they said they did not see me. That means I left there. But they could not disappear. But me, I disappeared. I'll be there now. You see problem, you are there. You did not see me, you now see he's gone. Of course, he's gone. Before, should I be there in problem? And guess what happened that same night? I had a vision where some folks were trying to bring me into a cult. And when I got into the place so dirty, I saw one woman looking so wretched. And they said she was the one giving them powers. I'll never forget that dream. I saw them. So I said, people that I know, some people, human beings that I know in town. I saw them there and I said, what are you guys doing here? They were like, Pastor, what are you doing here? And I was walking, seeing the woman looking tattered. She cut her hair, looking smelly, dirty environment. And I said, you need to get me out of here. Then I woke up from the dream. So I said, So they want to set me up so that if I ask, man of God, how can I come out from this dead trap? Then they will now put me in the dead trap. You don't understand what I'm saying. You see, you have to be strong in the word. The Bible says the word of God is the more sure word of prophecy. Your dream is not the sure word of prophecy. It's God's word that is the more sure word. That's why the Bible says more sure words of prophecy. You dreamt that died, but the Bible said, I will live to declare the works of the Lord. And he said, with long life, I will be satisfied. Your dream is false. The word is true. And that's why if Satan wants to get you down, he paints wrong picture in your head. The business will die. That this would do, that would do, that. No. Are you listening to me? You know, years ago, I heard a story. A young man, just for teaching sake, so you learn. He said his dad was in ministry, and the dad life never amounted to anything. So he's scared of getting into ministry and being fully dedicated because of that experience. And when I heard it, I said, That's the devil painting wrong pictures. Because what you know, if your dad knew, it would have not happened to your dad like that. And that's how the devil creates a wrong pattern in the family. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Years ago, I had a young man too. He came to my office and said his elder brother out of wedlock, other brother out of wedlock, and he's feeling like he may get married out of wedlock. And I said, no, you will not get married out of wedlock. It's not bloodline issue. And I said, go back and do not sin. It's so simple. How will wedlock happen if you are not visiting each other? Stop visiting yourself. I say, be talking from afar, be meeting only in church till your wedding day. You have defeated the demon of wedlock. It's that simple. But if you are catching cruise every time, you are watching movie, Netflix, you will now chill at the end. And it will be big trouble. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Hallelujah. I mean, I've said it years ago. I said, just a joke. I don't rush wedding. No. If you rush me, I suspect you. I said, Pastor, sir, we have to marry next month. He came impromptu. You go and do test result by my doctor. And if you are pregnant, no wedding. It's that simple. Someone came to my office that wants to get married. I said, okay, no problem. He said, Pastor, I used to come to church in Tito, but you've forgotten my face. I said, no, I don't really forget your face. Sir. I think I remember small. And I said, okay, so the wedding is also day. I don't know. I want you to join me with my wife. My wife to be. I said, okay, no, let me think about it. I said, but this is your wife. Can I see the picture? You have taken pre-wedding picture. He said, yes. So I said, give me the picture. I asked a lot of questions. I first said, why, what church do you attend? He called the church. I said, why are you not doing wedding there? He said, yeah, this thing, there are things there. I said, oh, there are things there. I didn't start pastoring yesterday. Which things there? Let me see the picture. When I saw the stomach of the lady, it was blessed. I said, this stomach looks, it seems she has a big stomach. She has not really jogged. He said, no, sir, it's what you are thinking. I said, what's that? He said, she's 4 months pregnant. I said, oh, really? I said, so how would the wedding be? Like, Pastor, it will not show if you press this to my car. I said, okay, but me, I know that she's pregnant. So how will it be? He said, Pastor, please, just help us. I said, okay, I'll think about it. And when he left, I said, Pastor Ed, my line is not going from today. Yes, I will not join. Because I don't know them from anywhere. You know, there's something called the blessing of marriage in the Orthodox. If you're already pregnant, they should just do you the blessing of marriage. You just look for a Saturday and just, you know, you can go over there. But I don't believe in those things. If you are pregnant, you must have the baby so that if you want to marry, you marry with your baby. Have the baby, repent. Probably in the future, we may now join you people. The baby will now be the chief, a little bride or little groom. Yes, because if you repent, do you understand what I'm trying to say? You can go and do your traditional wedding. Repent, you know. When you repent for like 2 years, if you like, go and have 3 babies before the real marriage. Now you savvy. But you want to cover up. No. I don't believe in that. Just for the record. In case you know somebody coming for that purpose. We used to do tests in this church. Do you understand? And my own doctor is the one that will do the test. Not your own doctor. You will just give me sample and go. Then I'll go and do what I want to do. Don't think that you give me sample, I'll not tell you the hospital that I'm doing it. Hallelujah. You know, crazy things are happening. It's normal now. Some useless cultures will tell you, test the woman whether she is fertile. If they test you whether you are fertile, we will not join you people. After all, you are fertile. You can just go ahead and be producing children. We don't believe in all those things here. Are you listening to me? Your culture is not stronger than kingdom. See, according to our culture, the woman must be tested. And you see the person, I've been bought with a price. God's own special, bought with a price. They have tested you. Hallelujah to Jesus. We must understand that Jesus has done everything necessary for us to have a glorified life. A unique life. A beautiful life. I was sharing with a young man yesterday, one of our guys that is in another state. I was trying to explain ministry to him in another dimension because some people truly don't understand ministry. I said, ministry is very easy. That means for people following, it is very easy. I said, it is pride that makes it ambiguous. I was giving him little examples. Maybe you've not heard it from me, but let me just take this opportunity to say it. As we are here, all of us now, we are fulfilling one assignment as a ministry, isn't it? We are fulfilling God's dream, you know, that assignment as a ministry, isn't it? And this is our own branch where we fulfill it from. This is our place, GCMI. Now, God has recorded that you are part of this wonderful work in trying to fulfill your own quarter of what He dreams for the earth, isn't it? And probably you are in another state because of work. They posted you. Does that mean you are not part of the family here again? It doesn't mean that. So if you are part of the family, will you partake in the things happening to the best that you can partake? Yes. Of course, we don't expect you to be here physically, but you should join us virtually. Right? You should attend the online Bible classes. That's why it's online, so that everybody around the globe can what? Connect. But you see, pride may not allow you to do these things. It's too easy. Except for pride. I can tell the words really got into his. I said, only pride will make you stubborn. And all of these things people do, all of these excuses people give, they only do it in church. The church is where they give garbage as excuse. You know, we've seen people who God helped greatly. I've seen people who could give me all that they even have in their account, all of a sudden become stupid. I've seen them. Ministry is that complicated. You know, one time I woke up and I saw one alert in my phone and I asked, I called the person's number, I didn't go through. So I asked my wife, the person is in your department. What happened that they sent me this kind of money? The person wants to just, he said he was led to send all of his money to me. And I said, no. How can I tell him, blah, blah, blah. He said he was led. I said, oh, called him. He was still insisting that he was led. It was impressive. No problem. I began to eat the money. Now, after a while, the person still misbehaved. I felt like I should vomit the money back, but I've already eaten it. Then I now joke and say, all the teachers I've taught you, you have not finished paying me for it. So I'm eating your one. If you go, it's a win-win. I didn't try to cover up. I advise once, advise twice, advise thrice. I can advise you. You'll be doing like Mumu, I'll be advising you. I can advise almost 150 times before I take my action. So I told the guy, I said, I'm sure you have seen people leave your group. We remove some people from it. He said, yes, sir. I said, it's not your HOD that did it. I am the one that did it through your HOD. Because we were tired for the misbehavior. Such a person now can think that he can leave such a place where he's indisciplined and go and meet God and say, God, I'm here, use me. How do you see God? You couldn't submit to the authority God placed over your life. And you are going out there thinking God has a special deal with you. You must be funny. Are you listening to me tonight? You must be very funny. And you can't choose leaders for yourself. God is the one that gives authority. And if God places somebody over you, it doesn't matter how the person is. Are you listening to me? Whether the person is your mate or not, that's not the point. God's authority over you at the moment. And if you truly reverence God, it will show in how you reverence that person. For God to say somebody is in charge of you. And you know, funny enough, some may have not been born again. They were born again. The person that have been born again for years is even their junior. And the person is in charge of them. They now feel that person talks like she's talking like a small girl. He's talking like a small boy. You that became born again in the last 2 weeks. Because you've not grown. Are you all listening to me? Very important. So, we know the level of your maturity by how much you reverence God's authority over you. I was trying to explain to him, so I told him, ministry is very easy. You are not going to make it for a meeting. Just tell your HOD, sir, ma'am, I wish you make it, but one or two things, I can't make it. Finish. It has finished. You have done a beautiful job. But you didn't make it. You gave no excuse. And when they call you, you say, oh, I was in this. You just say it carelessly. It paints a wrong picture. Are you listening to me? It shows you are proud. And it shows you have no regard for God and His authority over you. Are you all listening to me? Very important. Your leader tells you, you should be in church by 5 p.m. By 5:15, you are still waiting for somebody somewhere to collect something before you come to church. He told you 5 p.m. You see, I've learned this thing from God. The Bible says, little foxes spoil the vine. I'm still teaching what I'm saying. I've not deviated. It's a little what? Foxes. Many years ago, my spiritual father told me, he said, Simon, I've shared this story with two people here. See, when it comes, I was sharing with some folks, they were laughing. I said, while I was growing up, when I became born again, I was the laziest. You can say Simon the laziest. When it comes to prayer, if they start praying, I'll fall down and sleep. And I'll tell them I'm in a trance. Oh my God. Satan, my spiritual father, changed my name to Mr. Trance. So when they are praying and it's over like 4 hours, I'll just lie on the carpet, the rug of the church. He'll not come and hit me with his leg. I'll just wake up and say, blessed be God Almighty. Blessed be God Almighty. He will not say, yes, sir. You are in a trance? I say, yes, sir. He say, what did you see? There's one joke I did that today they are using it against me. I say, I see 9 cups. And we're 9 praying. So I calculated that since we're 9, I say 9 cups, you understand. So I say, I see 9 cups, and the Lord is giving us wine. Why? He started laughing. He said, you see 9 cups? I say, yes. He said, accurate. He's giving us wine. I say, yes. He said, so you have mind to lie in the name of the Lord? I said, no, sir, I'm sorry. The sleep was ambiguous. Hallelujah to Jesus. But one day, you know, and how I took somebody's pap and quickly, we're doing 3 days dry fasting. I almost died. I saw my life. You know, when you are playing game and your life is reducing, and in that enter, you know, it'll be reducing maybe like green, then you now enter red, and it'll be like 2%. It was danger, 2% of my life that remained on the last day of that fast. So I could not even stand. I was like this when we were praying in tongues, seated. Heat. Serious heat inside and outside. The spirit of death just hovering on my face. You are dying now. You are dying now. And God Almighty now made them to end the meeting. I thought that meeting would never end. Then I said, the grace of our Lord. So those girls did not fast, so they were doing 6 to 6. They were happy. They told us only the men to do dry. So she now rushed outside to greet her friends. What a scene. If she truly fasted like us, she would have not done that kind of thing. She was playing with her friends, and I saw hot pap in a long keg. I thought it was hot, then coolie coolie at the side. Soft coolie coolie. I just carried it like I was checking something. Opened it. I didn't know what was controlling me. Probably it was the Holy Spirit. Carried the coolie coolie. Ate it. Started drinking the pap. This is how I was doing. As I dropped it, she just came. That time it's not Pastor Simon. Brother Simon! She started crying. I'm going to tell Papa. She now said, I was following her. Please come, please come. She was rushing. So it was a record that after 3 days fasting, I stole. I broke with stealing. Holy kind of stealing. I mean, that kind of stealing God Almighty understands. Guess what? He started laughing when he heard it. And bought her some things and the rest. I really think when I ate that thing, I would have died. Do you know till today I regret not eating that thing? I don't have any regret that I ate. You know what I mean? I'm still very, I feel so righteous. And one day, we're coming back from somewhere. It's called Kurumemashi in Kaduna. We're coming back from the place, and I was about to go to my house. They were civilians. They live in a place they call Asurok. I was with my dad, of course, my family in the barracks, the main barracks. So I was going to my block. He was going to his place. And he said, "Come, Simon." As I came, he now touched me on my shoulder. I was hitting it. He said, "You are the great. You are the greatest." I didn't understand the meaning of that. Then he now said again, "Of all my sons, you are the greatest." I wanted to start laughing because I know people that are fasting machines. In fact, there was a brother one time, we were doing 3 days that dry fast. I looked at his face, I asked him whether he has eaten. He said no. I said, "Swear to God," because I didn't believe the kind of strength I was seeing. He was so strong. So I said, "Swear to God that you did not eat." He said, "Swear, we are Christians." I said, "Wait, but you have eaten. Nobody can tell me anything because he's so strong." And when he told me that, I said, "Sir," I became so scared because I don't know by what parameters I was being judged as the greatest. Then he said this few words. He said, "When I say come, you are the first to come. When I say go," he said, "this will make you the greatest eventually." And not trying to, with all respect to everybody I grew with, none of them is doing ministry the way I'm doing. It's the truth. Hallelujah to Jesus. Because of little things. He did not use long hours prayer, fasting to qualify me, which I can now do so much and even more by God's grace. But at that time, that was not what he used to qualify me. Are you listening to me? So small things matter. Little things matter. Come to church by 3 p.m. You have the impetus to even wake up by 3:30. That's when you are ironing your clothes. Because it has become a way of life for you to come late. See, no matter how you understand new Christian realities, as long as you are doing these little things, it is painting the wrong picture about yourself before God. Church, are you here this evening? You don't like this kind of preaching, isn't it? It's the truth. It's painting. When you speak ill about your leader, whether HOD cell leader, fellowship head leader, the Lord God is watching. The Bible said before him everything is laid bare, naked. He knows and sees everything. He said, and by him actions are weighed because he's the God of all knowledge. See that? Little things matter. When they say lead the sick, the praise, and they say you go and back up. When you are angry in your heart that you are backing up, not leading, he's seeing you. When you lie that your voice has a problem, he's seeing you. You know, I pastor the choir, so I know how choir people behave sometimes. He sees and knows everything. Are you listening to me? Let me touch finances. When you have money to give and you don't give, he sees you. Are you listening to me? And little things matter to God. A lot of little things, they matter to God. Remember Samuel and King Ahab, Prophet Samuel, King Ahab? Can you remember? They told him not to, I think that's King Ahab, right? Saul, sorry. They told him not to carry any animal and bring back to Israel. He carried. And Samuel came, I read it for you, we have a very funny story, and asked him, "Did you do everything the Lord said you should do?" He now said, "Yes." Samuel now said, "Why am I hearing cow doing more at the back of your palace? Goats are making noise and chickens." He now said, "Okay, I forgot." The people, he did not say him. He said, "Soldiers say we should carry it and come and sacrifice to God." What did Samuel tell him? He said, "Because you have disobeyed the Lord, what has happened? You've lost your crown. You've lost your what?" You can learn that from God. You cannot limit God. The moment you are being proud and not allowing the work of God make progress, God will replace you. Years ago, this is one of the things that made me so scared. I tell you the truth. People say, Prophet Simon, you're good with the word, blah, 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 you're anointed. I know God can replace me in a twinkle of an eye. So I count it a privilege. Are you all listening to me? I count it a very big privilege ministering the word of God. Ministering to God's people. Because I know I can be what? Replaced. And so will any of you, all of you sitting here, God can replace you. Are you all listening to me? He can. He said, if you will not worship me, I will raise somebody from nowhere. Stones. He said, they will worship me. Hallelujah to Jesus. So very important, little things matter. I told you something about the church in the book of Revelation. The church is there, neatly. You see God's letter to them. I don't know if you took time sometimes to read those things. How detailed God was speaking to them. I know of your good works. I know of this. I know of this thing. I know of that brother in church that is smoking. He's telling them everything word for word. Detail, detail. Precept upon precept. The one that shook me was the one that he said, I know of your good works. He said, I know how you resisted false doctrine, the teachings of the Nicolaitans. So I know you resisted. And he appreciated their good works. But at the end, he said, but one thing I have against you. I thought it's truly one thing. And he told them, you left your first love. I hit my tail. So you can even lose your fire and be correcting other people. You can lose your fire and you are in the ministry of correction. Are you all listening to me tonight? Very important. Glory to God forevermore. Let's continue. You see, why we have to understand that the flesh is not an enemy is because if you think it's an enemy, you'll find it difficult to serve God. It will be so difficult to serve God. Are you all listening to me? Very, very difficult to serve God. And there are many people find it difficult to serve God. Listen to what Paul said in Romans 7. Let's go there very briefly. Romans 7 from verse 13. Romans 7 from verse 13. Was then that which is good made dead unto me? Okay, let me read this. Certainly not, but sin that in my appear sin was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. Of course, you understand what that means. I've done that several times. Now, 14. He then says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I, Paul, is carnal, sold under the nature of sin. That's not Paul's nature at the status quo. At that point that Paul was writing this, he was referring to his former way of life, his former place, his former nature while he was in sin. So he was trying to make them understand that he understands their experiences. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Because I've tried, probably if you lived in Wadata and you are now in Maitama, you can write about the experience in Wadata because you were there. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? So that's what is happening here. Paul was a Pharisee. He was living by the law. And so Paul was writing to them their experiences because he was very sure that's what is happening to them. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain? And that's why verse 1 said, I write to them that know. The word there is ginosko. Knowledge via experience. That know the law. Alright? Now he's saying the law is spiritual. He's trying to make them understand why if they live by the law, they will still sin. If you look at 13, he said the law is good. But the effect of the law causes us to sin. You see that? That's the summary of 13. Then look at verse 40. He now expatiates. He said, I am carnal, but the law, the ways of the law are spiritual. Not that the law as a system is spiritual. Do not steal, do not kill is spiritual. Do not what? Commit adultery. Is it not spiritual? These are the ways of a spiritual person. He said, but I am carnal, sold under sin. So how can somebody carnal live the ways of a spiritual person? Not possible. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? That's why verse 15 now comes in. He says, for what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate that I do. Paul is trying to tell the Pharisees that you people are not doing what you hate, but you are appearing neat before the people. Because as long as you are a Pharisee, this is your experience. You are doing what you hate, but you cannot look like you are a sinner before people. This is why Jesus called them hypocrites. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? The blind leading the blind. And you see, if you look at this scripture now, the people didn't want, it was not the people's will to be subjected to sin. It was because they were trying to live by the law. If you live by a false understanding, what will happen? You'll be subjected to sin because that understanding is sinking sand. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So it was because they wanted to live by the law that they became subjected to sin. Paul is writing to them. Hallelujah to Jesus. He said, that which I hate, that I do. And this is the experience of a lot of Christians. That which they hate, they now like to do it. Because of what? The flesh. Or the wrong perspective of the flesh. I will not say the flesh. The wrong perspective Christians give to the flesh is why they are subjected to sin. I learned this many years ago. The flesh is not my enemy. It is part of God's redemptive plan for the earth and for man. And the world was made and was able to what? And men beheld the glory full of. When the manifestation of the glory happened on the body, on the flesh. You get what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. Are you here? Now, Romans 8:1. It says, there is now no what? So it's different. Now there is no condemnation to those who are in what? Not because they've walked righteously yet. He said, because they do not walk according to the flesh. They walk according to the Spirit. So you see, they've seen themselves differently now. They are seeing themselves differently. What did I say? How do you begin to walk in the Spirit? By seeing yourself like Christ. As you understand Christ and see yourself like Christ, you are in the Spirit. You are in the consciousness of yourself as a spirit. And if you are spiritually minded, you cannot fulfill the deeds of the flesh. You see that? But according to the Spirit, that is why there is no probability for sin nor condemnation. Because they don't walk according to the flesh, they walk according to what? The Spirit. Then he now expatiates in verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life, where? Has what? You see that? If you are walking according to the Spirit, you are walking. It is because you are in Christ. You understand the knowledge of God's word and are living by that knowledge. This is how to walk according to the Spirit. You know when we say walk according to the Spirit, some people want to say, no. You understand God's word and you are living by God's word. That's how you walk in the Spirit. You think God's word. You speak God's word. You live God's word. That's what it means for you to walk in the Spirit. God said, if you're walking in the consciousness that you are a spirit being because you see yourself like Christ, he said, then you cannot fulfill what? Huh? So what is fulfilling? What is the solution to not fulfilling the desires of the flesh? Walking in the Spirit. Are you understanding me tonight? Verse 3. He then says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. You see how this flesh thing has caused problem. It said God did by what? Church, let's read. God did by what? In what? On account he condemned even sin. He destroyed sin, even sin in the flesh. You see that? Oh. Well, no matter what you do, it does not matter. Really? In a great house, there are several vessels. Whether we like it or not, there are several vessels. Some for honor, some for dishonor. But if a man purges himself from the latter, he becomes a vessel profitable for what? 1 John, is it 3 from verse 1? Let's read 3 from verse 1. First John 3 from verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, but because they never knew him. That's part of scripture. It then says, Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed. What's the root word there? Phanero. To unravel. It has not been unraveled what we shall be. But we know that when the revelation hits us, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Via his word. Next part of scripture. Then it says, And everyone who has this hope, this blessed assurance in him, purifies himself just as he is pure. Now this is present, not futuristic. So verse 2 is not futuristic. You see that? Because the purification should be now. You see, we are like him, but probably it has not yet appeared. Paul speaking from his time. John speaking from his time. He said, but when he is revealed to us, when he's unraveled to us, if it's futuristic, Paul will not say, I pray that the eyes of your heart be enlightened so that you know. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? He should leave it for the future. But it's supposed to be now. And that's why we started with Philippians 3 and 10, that I may know him. The power of his what? Resurrection. The fellowship of his what? Being conformed unto his what? Death. You see that? Hallelujah to Jesus. So he's in the now. As he gets revealed to us, and we understand what God wants us to be like, is a hope in our heart. Wow, I'm above, blah, blah, blah. With this blessed assurance, what happens? I purify my... And that's why Paul said, in that same scripture we just left in Timothy, what did Paul say? He said, if a man purges himself, what will you use to purge yourself? God's word. John 15:3. You are made pure. Word. You are made pure because of my word that is already. Another scripture, Romans 8:13. Because now, if the same spirit from 12 that raised Jesus dwelt in us, it has quickened. And because of these 13, we are what? Debtors. Debtors. You see that? Debtors not to walk according to the flesh, because we will die. 13. What are we supposed to do? By the knowledge of God's word, by the Holy Ghost, what do we do? Mortify the desires of the flesh. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So, it's in the night. Now, purify yourselves even as you are pure. I am pure. I enforce that purity in my life. How do I do that? Romans 10. 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. 10 and 4. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to pulling down strongholds. Then verse 5. He said, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought to captivity to the obedience of Christ. Bringing every thought to captivity to the obedience of Christ. Wow, so beautiful. The Lord spoke to my heart yesterday afternoon and said, one of the ways that will make the world beautiful, cleanse it from sin and etc., is by modeling Christ. Not just by speaking, but by our actions. Let me give you an instance. Imagine I want to get married to any lady here. And the lady's probably sister does not believe in men because she had wrong experiences with men. Funny, I'm in my own world. I think crazy things. Now, I got married to the lady's sister. That is, I'm now married to the sister, but her sister doesn't believe in men. And probably she's getting old. She says she doesn't want to marry. You know, there are people like that. And she now found that, she now started observing me, waiting for the day that the younger sister will say, he has cheated on me. Then she will validate her claim. What did I tell you about men? But she waited, and no story like that. She's seen how that her sister is enjoying her life in her home. She's seen how anointed and blessed the man is and how beautiful everything is. What then happens? That wall, that, how do I call it now? That stronghold, yes, in her heart is getting good. Not because I preached Jesus so much, but I lived him so much. Do you know, suddenly that lady will start having hope. And that's why the Bible says, you are light of the world. He said, let your good works show before men. You see that? It's important. He said that men will see your good work and what? Glorify. Say, God, what you have said is true. I've seen it in the life of this young man. I've seen it in the life of this young lady. God, you are true. I want to start living in your ways. So you are a light not because you say the word of God. You are a light because you do the word of God. And you see what the devil is doing today is making sure people will not do the word of God. He is making sure that people, Christians, are not doers of the word. And then, boom, this doctrine comes up. Whatever you do in the flesh does not matter. How can we be light? How can we be light? And many people relate with that understanding. Why? Why do they like it? Because they've tried in all of their human effort, but it was not possible to live for God. So when that message comes, they are open-minded. Their hands are open. The Bible told us about such people in the end time. They are with what? Itchy ears. Itchy ears. Not necessarily stubborn people. They are looking for somebody to say what they want. You know, a young man looked at me one time and said, I don't know what God did to you that made you to hate sin like this. You hate sin too much. I hate sin too much. He said, sometimes I don't know whether you're under grace or under law. I said, how do you mean? He said, the way you hate sin, if you really understand grace, you should be quite merciful. Now, am I not merciful? Do I insult anybody in sin? So I started laughing. He said, and you are young and you want to make your life so boring. I said, you're dressing, you don't like, there's some kind of jean you should be wearing, some kind of sneakers. Imagine you grow old, you never tasted all of these things. Now, if you get me a big shoe, I can wait. I'll sell it. I can't wear any big shoe that is big, Timberland, Air Force 3, Air Force 1. God bless anybody wearing it, but I can't wear it. It's just me. I don't think it's necessary. In fact, if I wear it, I can't come out from my house. I'll imagine the whole world laughing. It doesn't mean people wearing it are sinners. Are you people get out and trying to explain to you? I'm just trying to show you that we go for the necessary, not for the permitted. They've tried though, no matter what people say, if you get me a chain watch that is shining, immediately I've given somebody else. I've dashed people more watches that are worth 30,000, 40,000, 50,000 because I don't wear chain watch. So, is it a sin? No, it's not a sin. I just think it's so attractive, and when you wear it, everybody's looking at your hand. So I don't know. Now, if you have chain watch, it's not a bad thing. No. You understand where I'm coming from, isn't it? People have their own choices. But Simon, blah, blah, blah. You know, you dress finish, and as a young man, you now put V-neck and now put chain. And that's the gospel artist's modus of dressing today. I ask myself, you truly understand God? You say yes. You understand grace? Yes. Prove it. The only proof is your dressing. That's the only proof that you understand grace. It's so funny that our generation, especially Gen Z, the only proof that they understand grace is their dressing. You see them bust their nose, I'm free indeed. In Christ, I'm free indeed. Is that proof that you are free? The Bible said, when I'm a child, I was a child, I mean, Paul speaking. Is it Paul or John? He said, I did everything I wanted to do. I think John. He said, but when I was grown up, one took me by the hand and what? Led me to places that I don't like. True freedom is being led by the Holy Spirit. Like I told people on Sunday after we're done with service, why would I be making life so ambiguous? Somebody, I know our culture, especially in Africa, don't respect people that come to them looking, you know, looking. Should I say, how do I put it? Looking not cultured, let me put it like that. In the way of our culture. They don't like, an African man can never, a real African man cannot respect a man who plaits his hair. I don't know that you are getting on track. So if I'm in Africa now preaching the gospel, you are telling me I like white guys, they understand grace. But I'm in Africa. And I will start from Africa yet before I get there. is my hairstyle, is it so much of a thing for me to remove so that Jesus is glorifying the lives of people? If my hairstyle is the reason why people will not come and hear the word of the Lord, I will cut the hair. No, I understand grace. Forget about that. Even if we are a tree, God will be glorified here. You are foolish. You don't just understand the word yet. Hallelujah to Jesus. In our generation now, see, the flesh. I give I said this one time in one of my sermons that many years ago, as a young man, over 16, 17, I had a vision where a gospel song was playing, and I, you know, when I say it sometimes, I used to feel like people would think I'm even lying or making this thing up. While the gospel song was playing out, I saw demons coming out in the spirit, in a vision, like, just in the twinkle of an eye. I felt like demons were coming out. So I told my superior that I was listening to a song and demons were checking out. And he just smiled. And I remember a lady in Zaria said the same thing, that she had such an experience. Now, as time went by, I understood that there are a lot of people who sing this gospel music just like an art. They don't have a secret place. It's the truth. Imagine you are a fornicator. I'm not preaching legalism, just listen. Imagine you are a fornicator. You fornicate. In fact, before you came for a ministration, you were fornicating. Then you now hold the mic and say, Calvary. You are consoling yourself. What do you think will be checking out yet? Because you see, you are purposely in that sin. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? And some of them, they are not ready to repent. I'm not talking about somebody who is weak. I'm talking about somebody who is not even ready to repent. You'll be emitting demons. That's why sincerely you may see some people stay in an atmosphere, and they are not engaging the atmosphere. Some of them you think is pride. It's not pride. They can sense a wrong presence there. Now, in a generation where somebody is calling himself a gospel artist, or young people are saying they understand grace, and all they can show for it is wrong manner, uncultured way of dressing according to we Africans. What do you say? It's foolishness. It's foolishness. Because so person did in the US does not mean you should do it. Oh, Africans. And you are thinking you are the next move of God on the earth. How many of these people that understand grace can pray 2 hours on a stretch? I'm not talking about 20 hours. You know, there's a man that said if you don't pray 20 hours, blah, blah, blah. If it was even 20 hours now, where will you even start from? But regularly, let's say 2 hours, pray in the spirit. In fact, say 1 hour. Some of them cannot pray. I tell you the truth. They can't pray. Now, this is a generation that wants to bring revival. No, we are joking. This kind of generation will compromise. As long as they tell them there's a lion that's not eating for 3 months. And if you not bow now, we're casting you into the lion. They will bow 10 times. Such a generation will bow how many times did I say? More than 10 times. People understood the old covenant and they stood against evil with the old. Men like Daniel, the 3 Hebrew boys. They stood against evil with the understanding of the Old Testament. The Old Covenant, I mean. We understand grace, the finished work of Jesus. Function from the energy, the whole energy of heaven. And yet all we can use to show for it is an uncultured way of dressing. Uncultured way of dressing. And when people talk, they'll say they are being judgmental. If we don't judge in the church, we from the church, if we don't judge ourselves, who will judge us? God has put authority in the church to judge and vet things. That's why you have apostles, prophets, and teachers of the word. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? We have to judge it. Before one time, people will begin to smoke in church and telling you, I like white people, they smoke, so why will we not smoke? In fact, I heard a preacher even saying something like that. That he went out there to minister in one of these white countries, and when he was done, he after church, he saw the instrumentalists, I mean, they were smoking cigarettes. And when he told the pastor, he said, why will they be smoking? The pastor said he should mind his business. And of course, they were telling him, Pastor, it was a strong service. They were healing the pastor while smoking. Now, is this what the earnest expectation of creation are waiting for? Is this what creation are waiting for? Church, answer me. Is this what creation are waiting for? If this is what creation are waiting for, what hope do creation have? Zero. The Bible says, so that creation are liberated in the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Glorious liberty. And if you look at it closely, what is that liberty? According to Romans 8 down 23, it says what? The redemption of our mortal bodies. We must see our body the right way. That's the only way we begin to live in glory. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? And I've shown you all the foundations that this command of God is built upon. If God says, live holy life, be a living sacrifice, see the foundation, see the finished work of redemption He has done for us. See the beautiful things he has done for us on Calvary. I just showed you a few of them. This is where God stood from and said, you can live above sin. He has defeated sin, even sin in the flesh. Are you listening to me tonight? Very important. So we must wake up. We must wake up. We must wake up. I believe 70 to 80% of people will relate more with, no matter what you do in the flesh, does not matter, than this kind of teaching. Why? It's relatable. It's relatable. The Bible says, trust in the Lord, lean not. Consoling ideologies. Lean not to your own understanding, because you find comfort. It's so easy here. But he said, trust in the Lord anyways. Trust in the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding. When men say there's a casting down, what do we say? There's a lifting up. And that's why I say, let the weak say. Let the poor say. Are you listening to me this very wonderful evening? So Jesus has done so much for us, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, through the fellowship of his what? Suffering. And understanding the conformity to his death. That's how you get to understand God and live in victory. They say, no, having this hope, we purify ourselves. Even as we are pure. Verse 2 said, when it's unraveled, when that revelation is unraveled to us, what then happens? With that hope, we what? Purify ourselves. As revelation comes immediately, is a hope. When we use that hope, that blessed assurance to begin to speak, you know, you are speaking God's word like the eagle on the top of the mountain. I'm above in the name of Jesus. I've been bought with a price. My flesh has been subdued in the name of Jesus. I'm a living sacrifice. The old man of sin has been crucified and done away with, so that we are no longer slaves to sin. You see that? That's Romans 6 and 6, right? That old man of sin without the Holy Spirit has been crucified to the cross, so that we are no longer what? Slaves. What do you make of this understanding if you are sincere? Is this a permission to live in sin? When you understand this thing, even your fashion is consecrated. God will touch every part of you. You can't be born again and every part of your life is not touched. If you are truly born again, every part, your speech, your conversation, your fashion, it will be changed. When we talk, especially in the public space, Facebook, you see the insults for righteousness. You know, I was so aback one time. I was teaching, you know, they shared one of my sermons in that group. They say, we love Prophet Simon. I saw a comment. I don't get to see it every time. So they shared one that said, a child of God has no weakness. Now, for the first one, I understand that they don't understand probably clearly what I was saying. All right? But this one that I say, a child of God has no weakness. There was the insult. I now saw false prophet. I said, okay, I said a child of God has no weakness. Now I'm a false prophet. Probably I would have said, children of God have weaknesses. And don't mind the devil. When you fault your weakness, just know it's your weakness. See, I can teach you something now that sounds like the truth. Listen to what I can tell you. When God was creating you, He saw you with this addiction. He saw you with this weakness. But He still created you because He knows that one day you overcome this weakness. So keep on following God. Does this thing sound like error? Say the truth. This thing, does it sound like error? If you didn't know I was going to do this, some of you would have said yes. Yes. He knows that one day I'll rise above. So I'll keep on pressing. That's foolishness. I told him I had. After the guy, oh my goodness. I don't know why God shows me this kind of very detailed, you know, it's not looking like something ambiguous, but it's so powerful. The guy is a young preacher. He was preaching and suddenly, boom, he fell to a sin, fornication. And when he fell, he stood up, went to church, and started saying this thing I just said. And I now saw the congregation lifting their hands and crying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I woke up in the middle of the night and God said, that is how error is into the church. He said, most people speak from weakness. From weakness. When the pastor tells you, nobody can live above sin, he's speaking from fact. Sin. He isn't sin. I tell you the truth. You know, I was somewhere and the person said, if anybody said above sin, he's just being a liar. Even me, pastor, I can tell you, nobody is perfect. If you are perfect, raise your hand. If you're dead, raise your hand that day, you are in big trouble. But God meets expectations, not needs. He meets expectations, not needs. If you expect to live in sin, you ought to. You must live in sin. If you don't expect yourself to live above sin, you will never live above sin. That's why the Bible says, guard your heart with what? All diligence. For from it flows the extent of life. The extent to which you can go in life is a function of the things you allow in your heart. They gifted me a book. I went for a conference somewhere, so I didn't stay to the end. So when I left, they sent a gift, a book and something to me, to the office. And so glad. But as I opened the book, I don't know how I opened the middle of the book. I can glance a whole book in 15 minutes, just glance, not read. So as I open, I just saw where the person said, we are not like Jesus in manifestation. We are like Him in that. I think you were there that day when I was reading the statement. We are like Him in that. In some areas of our life, not like Him in terms of manifest. We are not like, we can't be like Jesus. I don't know what he said. So disturbing. So I said, take your book. He was not looking at me. That's correct. I said, who gave you the book? I dash you. I said, I can read this book because it will affect my understanding. It will affect my faith. I want it intact the way it is. I was what? Guiding my heart. For from it flows what? The extent of life. The issues of life. Are you listening to me tonight? God has done a glorious work. A glorious work. Let's see 1 Corinthians 12:6. 1 Corinthians 12:6. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither what? Nor what? Nor what? Nor what? Nor what? You say, God, you're just saying sin. Remember, He has given you all for life and godliness. He's just pointing this fact to Paul. He's not trying to condemn you. Next part of scripture. He then says, no. 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 Will what? God, is it possible to live above all of these things? Even rivalers is there, amiable. People that cause problems before people. Is it possible, God? All of this thing? If it's not possible, He will not tell you that it is possible. And what He has done for it to be possible is 2 billion times bigger from everything Satan has done compared to anything Satan has done. And He's doing to make sure it's not possible. Do you understand what I just said? It is possible. Next part of scripture. He then says, as such were some of you, but you were washed, But you were what? Sanctified. But you were what? In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You see that? Meaning Paul is saying we are sanctified not to do those things anymore. Because God knows that they will not inherit the kingdom, so he sanctified them. There were some like that, but now by the word they are sanctified. Are you seeing this? Say, I'm sanctified. Next part of scripture. He then says, and he said, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Next part of scripture. I'm trying to find something. Food for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God will destroy both of it and them. Now, he's trying to compare. Don't think God will destroy your stomach. It's a comparison. So this is the focal point. Now, the body is not for what? But for what? You see that? And the Lord... But if you say the body is for sexual immorality and sexual immorality for the body, all is going to be destroyed. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? The body is for who? The Lord. It's the Lord's body. So God has made claim of your body because he bought it. You're going to see it with time. Let's see verse 14. We'll round up when we're done with this. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. That's part of scripture. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the member of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Next part of scripture. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. It's not when we say in marriage that you become one flesh. If you are fornicating, you are one flesh with the person. And the people of God say amen. So shall it be. So some of you would have married like 6 women, 7 women, you know. And if they have problems, you know the way those guys, let me just touch the way those guys used to say it. Their curses will be following you. Their suffering will be following you. How do you feel? Amen. All their bad luck is on your head. And blah, blah, blah. But funny enough, you whatever that is involved in them, you partake of it. Any disease they have, you catch. Any problem they have, you have. You see that? Sounds scary, isn't it? Hallelujah to Jesus. I'll read again. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one. Hallelujah to Jesus. Who is a harlot here? A harlot is any lady that have sex with a guy before time. That's what the scripture is saying here. Yes. Because God cannot be unfair. Are you here? Pastor, get out from this scripture. Go to the next. Let's read, everybody want to go. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one. One flesh. Same problem. That is why Satan wants you to fornicate. Have you observed that? It's been sincere. All of you are just. Sir. Satan has never tempted you to fornicate, yeah? No, sir. I'm locked in the glory. Never felt that way all my life. Bought with a price. Never felt those things on my body. I celebrate grace. Hallelujah to Jesus. Next part of scripture. See, fornication has that effect. It's so terrible. Adultery. So terrible. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. You see that? Next part of scripture. Flee sexual immorality. Everybody read. 1, 2, go. You're killing your body. You may not believe it. Go and ask doctors. I did this research. As long as you are doing what you are not supposed to do, you are killing yourself. We have a lot of young, weak human men today because of sexual immorality. They are just 20. They can't carry a gallon. Why? Sexual immorality. Those days we used to play football. When we are jogging around the field and coach see anybody like this, you just say, idiots. You don't do it to your father, they do. How you not go to the whole at this age? You don't finish. You don't give hope for football. Get out. And those things have such effects. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? They have. Somebody is just 21. You know, oh God. When this man in Genesis, what's that his name? Those two spies that came with good testimony. Caleb. Caleb at 82 was winning war. He said, the strength I feel right now is as the strength I felt when I was a youth. When I was a young man, when this vision came to us. He's still feeling as strong as that time. Vision kept him. Are you seeing it? Some cannot even carry two pure water like this. They are men. Two pure water. Hallelujah to Jesus. It's against your own body. You are destroying yourself. Next part of scripture. It then says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Say, I'm not my own. No, what Paul is trying to paint here is the fact that you should understand that you don't own your body. Know that somebody else owns your body and is God Almighty. If you understand that your body belongs to God, you have solved sin's problem 90%. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? He's not trying to insult them. Paul is trying to make them stop sin by imputing in them a consciousness that this body that they think is subjecting them to sin is not their body. So it already belongs to God. Of course, we'll finalize it in Romans 8 and 11 and 12. Next part of scripture. He then says, therefore, brethren, we are what? Where are we, my God? Go back to where we were. We have not. All right. He said, for you were what? Bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God where? And what? They are what? You see that? I don't own my body. God has it. Why did he buy it? The purpose why he bought it is so that it glorifies him. My body, God is not stingy. My body glorifying God is me living to the best of my ability and enjoying my life. Because immorality works against me. And God said, don't walk in immorality. So when I say I will not walk in immorality, it may look like I'm just glorifying God. But what is happening? I'm making my life beautiful. I'm fleeing away from problems. So you see, God's glory, all right, is you becoming the best of you. You living your best. That's how he gets glory. He's just excited and feel glorified when you live above sin. For your good. Think about it. Which sin on earth helps God do anything? If you don't smoke, does it increase God's rank? What happens? You are the one protecting your system. If you don't commit immorality, does it make God stronger? You are the one protecting your body. When you flee from any kind of sin, it's helping you yet It has nothing helping God. In fact, the only thing God sees as help, which is not necessarily help, is that when you flee from those things, you give him an opportunity to bless everybody's life apart from you too. He can flow through you. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So his delight is to see that creation are enjoying themselves to the best of their ability. Is he not a wonderful God? Is he not a wonderful God? You see, he's not there just power obsessed. No. Saying if you don't do this, you go to hell. No, he's a good father. He just wants the best for his children. And that's how he gets glory. You get the best for yourself, that's glory to him. Let your light so shine before men. So that when men, what? The only thing he gets, what? Glory. You see that? Not that they pour him money or spray him dollar. They just see your good work. Then he said, I'm excited. I get glorified. When they see your good work, I'm happy. Are you listening? That's why sometimes we can avoid quarrels. As long as it is within your power, live peaceably with all men. You can. There are times I felt like destroying somebody's life, but I would just keep quiet and go. Why do I have to keep quiet and go? I'm a model. I'm a model of the I'm a kingdom model. I have to show Christ to everybody. So I allow the pain. In fact, some may say he doesn't have any power. See, they spoke to him. He didn't reply. Such a weak man. No problem. Jesus gets all the glory. And somehow somebody looks at me and says, wow, is this possible? Is such a life possible? Now I've shown God's light. I've shown kingdom light. Bible says, out of Zion shall the standard come. You see that? I've shown the standard for humanity out there. I didn't complain. I just walked away. You know, one time we bought one car and the person thought he cheated me. I think with Oche. So Oche was like, sir, this man know what he did. He'll just permit us. We'll go and collect the money. I now called the man. I said, did you know this car had a gearbox issue? He said, no, pastor. I didn't know. I thought it was okay. I said, okay, no problem. And I told him, he said, no problem. He said, he doesn't know, sorry. While we're doing this thing, we tried. I had to now buy a new gearbox. It was so painful. Now, when I got the gearbox, I got tired of the car. I just sold it because I spent some money on it. I wanted to use it for a purpose. You know, this Uber, this Bolt stuff and the rest. I wanted to give to one of our persons here to be using it. And when I sold it, 2 days later, he called me. He said, sir, there was one sensor in the boot for the gear. I was testing it. The man said I should bring it back, sir. Please, I don't know whether it's available. It's 26,000. I want to return it to the man. I said, sensor for the gear? He said, yes. I said, so you tried repairing the gear before? He just kept quiet. I said, well, you told me that you don't know that the gear had problems. So you actually tried repairing the gear and you forgot the sensor in the boot. I just ended the call. He has not called me today. So I was so heartbroken, he lied. Now, I would have stand up, you know, one of my friends said, let's go and meet him, we'll deal with him, one of my military friends. I said, no, just allow him. Coupled with the fact that he just got married. So just allow the guy, allow him. Now, it looks so painful, feels so painful, but Jesus is glorified. Because if we go there, we may create a scene. And you people get out and try to explain to you. That's not Christian-like. You will meet people who will try you. They want to bring you back to your S life, your former life. In fact, they will bring out your boxing ability you used to have. You don't want to, they will follow you. You are going, they will tap you and say, do your wars. You know, today I was driving around, I just passed Benue Links. So I was coming in the morning with that donut observed it, and there was this, is it Pleasure Travels or Benway Links driver, a bike man almost hit his car. He now said, oh God, where you did go? The bike man started insulting him, and he said, I just asked you a question, where you did go? You start insulting me. He now did his hand like this, your father. The driver did something that broke my heart, made me excited, made my day. He said, thank you, insult me again. He said, "Thou art not do. Call me Mumu. Now Mumu be my name. And when you finish, dash me money." I was just looking at the man. I said, "Who is this man?" I couldn't stop looking at him. So shining. Hallelujah. Such a beautiful character he displayed there. You know, if it's another driver, that would be war. He will come out, they will begin to hold their neck. So when God says live peaceably, you ought to live peaceably. Now imagine you want to revenge. They find your trouble, you want to revenge. People now fight, you now die. For your right, you wanted to stand for your right and you died. And some people, I know some people are like, Pastor, teeth go surplus, let me go die. What if now you die? What then? The highest thing that will happen to that guy is that he will be jailed. Even if they give him life imprisonment, he's still alive. You are dead. So it's not like it was not your right, but now you have died. You see that God telling you to live peaceably is even protecting you. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? It's protect, because it's not necessary. It's not necessary. Live peaceably with what? All men. Another point is that the person you want to quarrel with today, you may evangelize to that person tomorrow. How will you evangelize? You insult the woman in the market, God will punish you, wicked woman. Then we now say, "Church, we are going for evangelism this Saturday. Some of you should go like this, some of you." You now knock one door. My daughter, now you? You now hide your Bible at the back. No, we just the pass. I say, "Make I greet you." You see? Jesus cannot be glorified. So, grow beyond childrenship to what? Sonship. One last example. I told you about a neighbor I used to have many years ago. They used to insult the guy that he womanizes. And I know he was not womanizing. I was very sure. I can prove it anywhere. He doesn't womanize. But he's this kind of guys that like ladies around them. Have you seen guys like that? They can't tell ladies no. They just like ladies. But they will not see no. They love God. They love ladies. I don't know that people are understanding what I'm saying. I used to have a friend like that. He's a very disciplined guy. Not disciplined. Let me not use the word discipline. He's a loving person. He loves God. He's so prophetic. But he doesn't tell ladies, no, go away. If ladies just come around, he doesn't want to sin with the ladies, but he just wants their presence. Have you seen guys like that? They are dating you, but they have like 9 other ladies that are their friends. And when they begin to talk or chat, you are wondering who is dating who. That's how he was. Satan will be coming. And you know, ladies, if they see that guy opening, it's like sugar on the ground. They'll start rushing like ants. They started coming because he's a fine boy and he knows how to sing. Good singer. We used to sing every morning, sometimes in the morning, to just praise God. It was with him I was singing that song. I said, I dash choir. I don't know who carried the song when I dashed them. That one that I said, Anyawecho. Is it that I dash one? Okay. Amen. It was with him I was singing that song. And one day they started insulting, blah, 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 womanizer, every time, chaos. And chaos were actually coming. You'll be doing voice training, I'll be hearing from my own. So, do, do. And I'll be hearing. Another one will come, two will come. They will be every day. There's no day that passes by without guests coming to the house. And yet, I tell you nothing. But he was not really brought up well spiritually, is the truth. Because sometimes he's with singlet teaching them keyboard. Singlet. And really, they are learning. The girls will lie that they are learning. They will be coming out from the house. When I see you, I'll say, "This one, learn keyboard today." Sometimes he's with short knicker, with singlet. He's teaching keyboard. Innocent boy. He thought not knowing that those people are not coming to learn keyboard. So I didn't really have confidence because I just came into the compound. So I was trying to respect myself. I didn't want to go and start meeting him. Now I've come, I've started advising somebody in the compound. So I was just respecting myself. Then one day he came to me almost crying, tears everywhere in his face. If you just hit him, the tears will start falling. I said, what is it? He said, sir, looking against me in the compound. I said, how now? He said, you are sleeping around. What kind of a fake Christian I am? They called him fake pastor. Sleeping around with girls. Every day girls are coming. They were now even comparing you and me that, me, and you, I don't, sir, me, do I used to sleep with that again? I said, no, you don't. I know you now. I said, don't mind these people. Don't mind them. You know, people must talk in this world. When he wanted to go, the Holy Spirit said, really? You will not be sincere with this boy. I said, I called his name. I said, come first, come. I said, please sit down. I said, you know, I'm your brother. I should be very real with you. Better the wounds of a friend than the kisses of an enemy. I said, my brother, even me, if I don't know you before, I'll say you womanize. I said, see the kind of guests coming, tall, short, long, slim, fat, ambiguous, all of they are coming into your house. I said, in this generation, who would think that you people were brave? Who would think that kind of thinking? Oh, you were doing deliverance. Is that what people would be thinking? I said, if I was not a Christian, or I was not your friend, I would be thinking you are fornicating now. He now started doing his head like this. I said, think about it. The Bible said, I'll give you a voice and a wisdom that your word. Enemies will not gain a say. Me that my sister visited, the news went abroad. My younger sister just gained admission, came to my house to see me. When she came, I had to go to the road because she didn't know the main place. Brought her to my house. Left her slipper outside because I don't have any evil intention. It's my sister. But the world don't know it's my sister. When she came out, she went, oh my God. Somebody came to borrow matches in the evening. As he was collecting the matches and going, he said, Pastor, Nawa for today. I said, what do you mean? He said, Pastor, everybody is happy in this compound because we are wondering. I said, wondering for what? He said, everybody is wondering. No girl has visited you. What kind of a life is that? Today, everybody is happy. I said, hey. I said, come inside. He told me they were laughing and shaking their heads. You know, I don't know why even my landlord at that time wanted me to marry. I'm being sincere with you people. I was looking, look at how I look now. Imagine like 4 years ago, somebody's advising me to marry as a landlord. Why? Because him too, he has heard rumor that guests don't used to come to my house. So they were wondering, you know what I'm saying now? They were wondering. And I say, hey, my guy, I beg you. And I remove our family picture. I say, who be this? Yes, this is the guy I saw today. I said, that's my younger sister, the second one following me. I say, see our father, see our mother, see my first sister. She's the one that greeted me today. She came to greet me. She just got a mission. I said, Pastor, everybody did your people. I say, it's not my people. It's my younger sister, the second one. Please share the news. He came with a news, he took another news. But guess what? Those people in that compound respected me to steeple. When I am about to teach the word, they sit down and listen to me. I remember a woman had to carry her son, her only boy, and keep with me. She said, Pastor, help me train this boy. My food there. Righteousness exalts a nation. I ate free food till I leave that compound. You see this apple you people used to buy that time? I will eat apple, 2 meat, 3 meat. Why? The woman looked at me and said, the person that born you is the most blessed person on the earth, in thief language. She said, as long as I'm here, anything you want to eat, Pastor, come and eat in my shop. That's my way of giving back to God. Brothers and sisters, if I tell you I did not eat, I'm lying. I ate till Kai. I didn't want to leave that compound till I had to leave. If I, when I left, I used to come and greet them once in a while. Then I'll say, I want to pay those same call. One time I said, no, these people will not think I'm taking advantage. So I stopped. Just for living righteously, I was eating free food. Are you seeing this tonight? The earnest expectation of creation awaits what? A manifestation of sorts. It sounds so simple, but this is so powerful. Are you listening to me? It's so powerful. Have you seen all the reasons why you cannot sin in the flesh? Have you seen it? You feel yucky yucky on your body. Tell your body, feel blessed, blessed. Your body is doing one kind. Tell it, be straight, be straight. My body did to me, tick, 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 tick. Do it, go, 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 go. Subject the body. Are you listening to me? You know, in church, when we teach this kind of things, people of God are like this. He's probably not talking to me. Sanctus Spiritus, Sanctus. I'm the Holy One. He's not talking to me. I'm talking to all of you. And you all know I'm talking to all of you. You all get married. You now know that this fornication is demonism. You just see the lady, the devil will say, grab her! Boros, kabash, shibaras. You are now you have the opportunity to do it anytime you want to do it. You say, no. You now understand that life is bigger than that. When hungry is firing you, what do you want to do? Even your wife will slap you. You will not look at your husband's face. Before you know, you are learning tailoring as a married woman. Have you not seen plenty of my women learning tailoring? Because they think when I just marry my husband, I will just sit in the house and be enjoying his money when they enter. Not like this, I go there. No. In fact, the husband starts asking you questions. Where is your money? What's your contribution to this house? You can't take that rubbish. If you will not do anything, all of you, let me end with this. I bet you, if you are not doing anything with your life, you marry and think you just sit in your house, come and bet me whether your husband will not ask you this question. They will ask you, if not directly, indirectly. I will need money for gas. Don't worry, when I come back, I'll feel it. After all, I know there's nothing you can do. It's just to sit down. Well, you can't even quarrel in peace. Just quarrel, it will remind you of your state. You are quarreling who? If you had a job, I would have even listened to you. You sit in the house, eat my money, tell me to send for your mother. I'm not. Somebody puts this up to your face. They say, dating these days is like helping the offer. it's like you're helping an offer. Oh, you will subscribe. Who will subscribe? You have a girlfriend that you are subscribing for. Run, oh! Run. Even subscription, she no video. You have married liability. You should run for your life. It's not a joke, oh. Subscription. Honey, send me 2.5 for some. If you send 2.5, is it sure you will not buy? The moment he said, I love you, your next gown on him, your next hair on him, your next sob on him, your next oxygen. You should not. You, this kind of lady, you are a killer. You should not. Your kind of job is to maybe be a reverend sister. You should just go and be a reverend sister, because marriage is not for you. You are a killer of destiny. Hallelujah to Jesus. Bow your heads and pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Go ahead and pray. We pray your word is a light for our path and a lamp for our feet. As we have listened, our lives will never remain the same again. Almighty, worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb, you are holy, holy. Are you Lord God Almighty? Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Holy. Holy. Are you Lord God? I will sing holy, holy to my Lord and God, I call the King. We will sing holy, holy. I will praise the Lamb of God who sits upon the throne. I will worship, be even praise to He who was and is and days to come. I will sing before His throne forever.
I see in the spirit some lady here, and the Lord is telling me that you've been, you know, this wrong perspective, soul tie that people have, this wrong perspective that they say you are going to be clinging to your first love, some sort of, or if you had ever had anything to do with somebody, you are clinging to him. And I see a lady here, you are clinging to the first person you ever had anything to do with. And in the realm of the spirit, when I saw your hands, it's like a chain. When I saw your hands being opened, the chain being cut, I even saw like your flesh was joining to the chain and getting torn because it's so glued to the chain. And Lord said, what it means is that you are so connected with this person that even till today, if not for a few reasons, because you're spiritual, you still wish it was that person. So the Lord is telling me this because He has already made provision for you to live above this state of your life. No matter how dear the person used to be, since He is not God's will for you, the Lord is making you understand that my grace is sufficient for you and my strength is perfect in weakness. So tonight, from tonight, know that you are liberated and act like you are liberated in the name of Jesus Christ.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also,
Worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.